Tithe and offering. Who needs an envelope? I'm going to be reading out of Psalm 78, if you want to turn there, starting verse 18. Now, the children of Israel are an example to us. We're supposed to learn from them, learn not only what to do, but what not to do. And here it talks about the children of Israel, verse 18, and they tested God in their hearts by asking for food for their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God and they said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? They tested God. It says that they tested God in their heart. And they asked for food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God and said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? And if you go back and read what happened, it says that they murmured and complained that they had no meat to eat, that they were tired of eating the manna, the miraculous bread from heaven coming down, being provided for them miraculously every day. They got tired of it, and they said, well, we're dying because we're hungry. We want something yummy. We want something tasty. And they didn't think that God could do it. That was the problem. It's not that they were asking God for something, because they didn't ask God. They murmured and complained, and they didn't ask God. They didn't ask God. If they had asked God, I'm willing to bet God would have given it to them. So if you go to verse 20, behold, he struck a rock so that the water gushed out of it and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was furious. So the fire was kindled against Jacob and the anger also came against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Because they did not believe God and they did not trust in his salvation. It wasn't because they asked, it was because they didn't trust. You know, and with our finances, this is like, it's not wrong to ask for nice things. It's not wrong to want something. It's not wrong to want a new car. It's not wrong to want a nice house. It's not wrong to want to have nice clothes or good food. None of that stuff is wrong. But when we don't believe that God can do it, then we're in error. Then we're in error. God can absolutely do it. And we need to trust him. So, you know, it's just like we need to trust God. We learn from the example of the Israelites. You know, a lot of times we end up in situations in life where maybe we don't have enough finances, maybe we don't have enough provision, maybe we don't have as much as we would like. And we have a choice of either trusting and believing in God or saying, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make it. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you made him your Lord and Savior and you choose to align your life what he says to you, then you can have full confidence that he'll take care of you. Not that you don't end up in difficulties, not that you don't have problems, and not sometimes that you don't go without, but that you trust God. Because even the nation of Israel went without. They were in the wilderness. They were starving. They didn't have much. And they cried out to God, and God provided for them manna. I'm thinking they were starving a little bit before they got to that point. They were thirsty before they started crying out for water, where God gave them water out of a rock. God can do miraculous things, but we need to trust him. So I encourage you, trust God. Don't doubt. Just trust him. We don't have to know the ends. We just trust him. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your provision in our life. I thank you, Father, for the jobs, for the finances that we all have. We thank you for your blessing in our life, and we just praise you, and we exalt you, and we honor you, and we choose to trust you in all things, that your name be glorified and honored in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're here to hear your word. We're here to hear what you have to say. We're here because we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God sent into the world to save us from ourselves, to save us from the corruption that is here. We're here because we know that in you is life, in you is hope, in you is truth, and we choose to open our ears to hear. We choose to listen to what it is that you have to say so that we can change and become more like you. We ask that you would help us, Lord, to have the ears to hear and a heart to respond to what it is that the Spirit is saying. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So during worship this morning, the Lord kind of was speaking to me about a couple of things. A number of months ago, I had had a dream, and I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but in that dream, I was in the house, and there was a storm raging outside. And in that storm, it all of a sudden got very, very, very violent, and the house started moving. And I'm like, we all need to go downstairs. We all need to get down into the basement. And so we all started going down, and the house is moving around. I'm getting jostled around the stairwell as I'm holding on to something. Oh, the cat, that's right. I was holding on to the cat. And I looked outside, and I could see that the house itself was rotating. It was rotating on the foundation. It didn't leave the foundation, it only rotated. And the Holy Spirit, I believe, spoke to me this morning and said, you're entering into the time of rotation. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, that's... But here's the thing, we're in the house, and we were safe. It didn't get destroyed. There's safety, and there was light in the house. We don't need to be afraid of what's going on outside because we're safe. There was one morning in service, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, it's not as bad as you think. Well, let me put some context to that. That earlier, the day before, I had been contemplating, thinking about, God, where are we at in this whole thing? Where are we? Are we in end times? Are we at the end? Is this the, you know, are we entering into the tribulation? Are we going to see these things that were in Revelation? And that morning, the Lord said, it's not as bad as you think. We're not in the tribulation. We're not entering into the end times. This is life like normal. You know, it's the cyclicalness of life. There's ebbs and flows. There's times of blessing and there's times of conflict. We're in a time of conflict. But this isn't to the end. This is just another process. We're not there yet. We're going to go through this and we're going to make it just fine. We'll make it fine as long as you stay in the house. As long as you stay in the family of God, in the house of God, where you have warmth and comfort and you have the support of one another. But if you're out there on your own, it's a dangerous place. Don't be afraid when things get more violent, more chaotic. Trust God. Trust God. Because we'll be fine. It's just a storm. This will pass. And we'll be okay. So that leads me into my sermon. He was the light. Now we're the light. In the beginning, in Genesis 1:3, God gave us light. Genesis 1:3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. You know, there was no light before that. There was nothing as far as we know. As far as we can understand, there was nothing. He gives light, both literally and spiritually. You know, if we look at that there is, without God, there's no nothing. You know, we say we came from nothing. Well, if we came from nothing, well, then we're nothing. You can't have something from nothing. Something has to come from something. There was God, and He spoke, and everything became. In the beginning was God. In the beginning was God. And he created light. I heard it said it was interesting listening to somebody talking about the quantum physics, talking about the quantum realm. And they talked about what makes up an atom. They talked about quarks. Quarks make up the atom, and they've determined that what quarks are is light. I mean, that's how they described it. Now, I'm not a quantum physicist. Could have been, but I didn't go that route. They describe it as light, that it is light, and it has... So, essentially, everything is made up of light. If the very building blocks of cells, of atoms, the very building blocks of atoms are light, then everything is made up of light. God said, let there be light. When he said, let there be light, he essentially created everything. I mean, I thought that was pretty cool. You know, so here we are. God creates light. He creates everything. Everything's good. And he comes to the end. He said, it is good. Then man gets involved. You know, if God wouldn't have given us free will, this never would have happened. But God gave us free will. He gave us the ability to choose. And that's why we're in this situation that we're in, is because he gave us the freedom to choose. You know, you have the choice. Everyone has the choice. To think that, you know, we're just puppets on a string, whatever God says, dance, 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 is not true. God gave us freedom to make our own choices. So when God says, you know, make a choice, he literally means make a choice. He's not going to force you to do it. And so man made a choice. Adam and Eve made a choice. And they rebelled against God. And ever since then, we've been living with the consequences of their decisions. But God chose to not leave it alone. And he chose a nation out of all the worlds. He says, no nation on the earth served him. And he said, I choose a people for myself. And he chose Israel. He said, these are my people. I choose them as mine. And he made them unique in the entire world. They have the revelation of God. They were the one people on the face of the earth in which God entrusted his revelation of who he was. In Exodus 10:23, it shows God giving light to the nation of Israel. There was darkness in Egypt. There was a great darkness. It was a judgment of God. And they did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwelling. Only the children of Israel. It doesn't say the people of Egypt had light only in their dwelling. It says the children of Israel only had light in their dwelling. And here's an illustration, I think, of what is to come. That the dwelling places of God have light. That the believers, those who follow God, those who trust in God, in them is light. All the world is darkness, but in them they had light. Exodus 27 and 20. You're talking about the temple. God giving out all the precepts and all the things that need to happen for the temple and how it needs to be administered to. And he says, and you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil that from pressed olives for light to cause the lamp to burn continually. Well, we know that from Scripture that oil is a type and a shadow of the presence of God, of the Holy Spirit. And he says that it's pure. And this is what causes light, is the Holy Spirit in us gives us light. And that it burns continually. It burns continually. The Holy Spirit is supposed to burn continually in our lives to bring light. Sometimes we feel like we don't have any light. Better check your oil level. Because if you're running out of light, you're running out of the Holy Spirit. And if you needed more of the Holy Spirit, you just got to ask. You just got to humble yourselves before God Almighty. Surrender to Him, and He will fill you again. Psalms talks about light. Psalms 37:6, and He shall bring forth righteousness as light, and justice as the noonday. He shall bring forth your righteousness as light and your justice as noonday. He's talking about the Messiah here. The righteousness as light. Psalms 43:3. Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and your tabernacle. The light leads us. It needs to lead us. It needs to guide us. And most of us know this one. Psalms 119, 105, and 130. I'm not sure why. Oh, yeah. Actually, let me look this one up. It's got it cut weird. Psalms 119. The longest psalm that there ever was. I mean, verse 105. It's like a whole book in the Bible all by itself. 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 130 says, I'll get there. I'm going to start in verse 29. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The entrance of your word gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. The entrance of your word gives light. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's equating the word with light. And the entrance of your word gives light. The illustration of light is about revelation and understanding. It's about revealing what's hidden in darkness. If you're in a dark room and you want to see, you do what? You turn on the light. You turn on the light so that you can see and you can look around you and realize, hey, I might be in danger here. I just about tripped over that. Or, hey, this is a nice, beautiful room. I like it. We don't know what we're dealing with until the light comes. We can think everything's perfect or we can think everything's bad. You know, what I shared this morning about being in the house and being in the time of the storm, the time of the turning. It's like, that is light. It's revelation. It's understanding. You could see everything going on around you and be terrified because of the chaos that's coming in the world. But you have light because the Lord has brought light by His Word. And you can be assured that everything will be okay. But without that light, you're going to be terrified. You're not going to know what's going to be happening. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Proverbs 6, for the commandment is a lamp. Again, the word is the lamp. And the law a light. Reproof and instruction are the way of life. Isaiah, here's two prophetic scriptures that have to do with the light. Indeed, he says, Isaiah 29, verse 6. Actually, turn there. You might want to see this. Isaiah 29:6, indeed, he says, is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribe of Jacob and restore the preserved ones of Israel? I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Verse 3, the Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. I believe that Isaiah 61 and 3 is talking about Jesus. Isaiah 49, 6 talks about us. And that's the background. Let's get into the meat of things. John 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing was made without Him. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word. The Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? What is that saying? Jesus is God. Jesus is God. He was with God in the beginning. He was part of God. He was around Him. He was there when everything was made. The Word was in Him. And all things were made through Him, and nothing was made without Him. In Him was life. In Him was life. In Him was life. He created life. He created. And the life was the light of men. It says they breathed upon man, and he became a living soul. The living soul. What's the difference between man and animal? We're a living soul. We think, we contemplate, we live with words. We create with words. We destroy with words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And in us is words. We create and destroy things by our words. At the Tower of Babel, God confused man's words because it says that they're all as one and that nothing shall be kept from them. They can do whatever, because they're unified, because they're one, they can do whatever they want. And so he confused their words. Their words became confused. You know, one of the things that we have a large problem with in the world? Understanding one another. There's always, you see some of these clips of guys talking about women, and they say, you know what, most of the time we're just standing around going, what does she mean? What do you think she means? I don't understand. I just want to do the right thing here. I don't want to make a mistake. What do you think she means? And women are the same way. They're like, I don't understand why he does that. That doesn't make any sense. What does he mean when he says that? One of the most basic things between men and women. And we can't want to understand one another because there's communication issues. That's because of Babylon. That's because of the fall of man. We can't communicate. God breathed into us and he gave the power of word to us. He gave power of word that what we say can come to pass. Whether good or bad. What we say about ourselves is important because it's the light that we live by. What you begin to say, if you say, oh, I'm so stupid. I'm such an idiot. This becomes the light that you live your life by. It's the revelation that's inside of you, and it colors everything. If you have a green light in your room, everything's going to look green. If you have a red light, everything's going to look red. If you have a pure light, everything looks the color that it is. If you have a black light, you don't see anything. Unless it's one of those funky colors. When we speak, we create realities. We create realities. What is it that we're speaking? What light are we giving to our lives by speaking out things? Jesus was the Word, and God gave us the power of words. As He breathed into us, the life of God came into us. In Him was life. Jesus, it says, in Him was life, and life was the light of men. John 3:19-21. We know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that through Me the world might be saved. Right? We know all that. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. We naturally of our natural selves, love darkness rather than light, because the deeds were evil. For everyone who practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest their deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done of God. You know, we think that we're actually going to hide something from God, that He's not going to know what we've done. And the only hope that we have is to come to the light, to expose the darkness, to expose the truth, and allow God to deal with it. The light exposes darkness. There are times when people don't want to hear what the Word has to say. They don't want to hear what the Scripture tells us about a thing because they choose darkness rather than light. They want to choose their philosophy, their colored light, their impure light over the true light of God, so that they can see the truth of things and be, they want to live in their own darkness. You can watch it in political realm. They only see it from their perspective. And this goes for Republicans and Democrats. They only want to see it from their perspective. It's like, nope, I'm right. I am absolutely right. This is a lie. This is a deception. This isn't true. Is it? Is it the truth? Is it not the truth? We're in the world, but we're not of the world. John 8:12 said, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows Me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That if we follow Jesus, we don't walk in darkness, but we walk in light. If we walk in darkness, guess what? We're not following Jesus. Because to walk with Jesus is to walk in the light. And if we're not going to walk in the light, then we're walking in darkness. If we're walking in darkness, then we're not following Jesus. It's a hard word. That's light. That's revelation. You know what? If you're realizing, you know what? I'm walking in the dark. Time to get in the light. It's time to get in the light. John 9:5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John 12:39. I know a lot of scriptures. But it's great. I mean, I just read the scriptures and comment on them a little bit, and I know I'm getting it right. John 12, 35 and 46. So 35. Then Jesus said to them, A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. Verse 36, I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. That's a great word. If we believe in him, what does that mean, to believe in him? To put our trust and rely on him. To say, if you're somebody who is in darkness or blind and you can't see, you have to put your trust in somebody else to lead you and guide you. You have to trust somebody. And it's just like when we put our trust in Jesus, we're putting our trust in him that he will lead us and guide us where we need to go. That he knows the way. We don't, but he does. And that we're surrendering our ability, or non-ability as the case may be, to be able to lead our lives to him and say, you know best here. Show me the way. And that if we put our trust in him, we will not abide in darkness. If we rely on him. You know, we all have this tendency, though, of at some point or another saying, you know what, I think I know what the best thing to do here is. I think I know what I'm doing. I got this one, God. I got it. I know what needs to happen. And we don't trust God in it. We don't put our faith and hope in him and say, God, what are you saying in this situation? Now, I'm not saying that we never make decisions without fasting and praying a week. I mean, sometimes you just have to put on a pair of shoes or make breakfast. You don't have to, you know, fast and, well, you're already fasting if you haven't had breakfast. But you don't have to travail in prayer to find out some things. I'm talking about as a way of leading our life, God should always be preeminent in making our decisions. Not that God is wanting to make every little decision for you. Not that he's wanting to be your puppet master. He wants you to grow up to make your own decision. Just like we have children and we want them to grow up to be able to make their own decision of what clothes they're going to put on during the day, what they're going to have for breakfast, what they're going to do. And eventually, you know, to be able to be, you know, to trust them to do the work that they need to do, that they can go out and get a job, live their life, make good decisions as they grow. It's like God expects the same thing from us, that as we grow, we learn from him as a child from their father, to learn to know this is the right way, that's not the right way. That he is the light. He is the guiding part of our lives, and that we trust, and when we don't know what to do, or we get in a situation where we're confused, that we turn to him and say, God, what do we need to do in this? I mean, he's given us the word. He's given us the Bible. If we read the Bible, most of our answers are found right there. We don't need a special revelation for most of the questions we have. We just need to know what the word said. What the revealed revelation of Jesus Christ in the word says about God, we'll have our answer. I have come in the world as a light. I have come as a light to the world. Jesus came as a light to the world to show them the way. You know, here's the thing, though. Jesus in 9:5, he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You know what? Jesus isn't in the world anymore. Jesus isn't in the world anymore. He left. But he left the light in us. Matthew 5, 14 and 16. You are the light of the world. This is Jesus speaking. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor do they lay a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You are the light. You are the light of the world. You are the light. Jesus was, now you are. 1 John 4:17. Turn there. I want you to look at this. I want you to understand this. I want you to meditate on this. 1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we have may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Because as He is, Jesus, as He is, Jesus, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is, so are you in this world. Well, I don't really feel like it. I don't care. You are. You are. You don't believe it, that's the darkness. You are like Jesus in this world. But all the things I've done, but what Jesus has done is greater. I don't care what you've done in your life. I don't care about what your past is. I don't care about your history. That doesn't matter. What Jesus did is what's important here. Who you were is irrelevant. For you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and the old thing passed away. You used to be someone walking in darkness. Now you walk in light. Yeah, you've done some things. Yeah, you got some filth. You got some nastiness around you. So what? Let the light clean you up. Let the light show you the imperfections, that you may be perfected in Christ, because as Christ is, not was, is, you are in this world. What is Christ right now? He's seated on the throne of glory, perfected and righteous, without spot or blemish, having paid the price, paid the ransom. He now sits as the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the Son of God who has obtained the rightful place as the ruler of all humanity. He stands as judge. He stands as king. He stands as the Savior of the world. As He is, so are you in this world. That as you go out as His representative, declaring the truth of who He is. Acts 13:47. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. You know where that comes from? That comes from Isaiah 49:6. Indeed, I say, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise you up the tribe of Jacob and to restore and preserve ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. He is quoting that scripture and saying that's what God has called us to do, to be a light to the Gentiles. Who are Gentiles? Those that don't know God. Those that don't know God. Those that are without the revelation of Jesus Christ are Gentiles. That's what it's meaning. Ephesians 5:8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For you were once darkness, but now you are children. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You are children of light. You are born again. You're not born of darkness. You're not part of the kingdom of this world. You may live in the world, but you're not of it. You're never going to be like it. They're never going to appreciate you or love you. They're not. Because they love darkness rather than light. And the closer that you get to the living one, the closer you get to letting Jesus pour out of you, the more light you're going to be, the more darkness you're going to expose. And the better able you are to draw people to the light. But that also means those that hold fast to wanting to walk in darkness are going to hate you even more. You know what? There's nothing to be afraid of. Jesus told us this was going to happen. He said, if I being your master and they hated and reviled me and called me a messenger of Satan, how much more will they call you? You know, they're going to hate us. If we live this out, if we actually walk this out and we become this, yeah, they're not going to be happy with us. But is walking in the light and walking in relationship with God more important than having accolades in this world? I say yes. I say yes. What does this world have to offer? You're seeing what the world has to offer. It has nothing to offer but chaos, corruption, deceit, deception, destruction, and death. Just look around you. You're beginning to see it manifested all around you. That's what the world has to offer. But Jesus has life and light. And that is in you. As children of light. 2 Corinthians 4:4. This is what we contend with. This is the issue that we run into. Whose mind the God of this age has blinded. Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Whose mind the God of this age has blinded. We contend with the powers of this world. We contend with darkness and deception. But you know what? Jesus overcame. He overcame the darkness. He overcame death and destruction. So is He. As He is, so are we in this world. He overcame. Guess what? We overcome. He said that I give you power over serpents and scorpions, that you would trample on them, and they will not harm you. All the powers of the enemy. He's given us power and authority over all the powers of the enemy. What is that? What are the powers of the enemy? Darkness, deception, destruction, deceit, deception, distortion, lies, corruption. He's given us power and authority over all of that. All of that. You know, sometimes when somebody lies about us, we think, you know what? I can't let this stand. Otherwise, it's going to destroy me. No. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That's a good instance to say, God, what do you want me to do here? You don't have to justify yourself before the world. You have to be justified before God. God, what do you want? How do I be justified before you in this? If He says speak, speak. If He says remain silent, remain silent. You never know what God's up to. He may be drawing them in to destroy them. Or He may be causing a circumstance by which somebody might be saved because of how you responded to it. Matthew 28. Verse 18. If we could get this revelation, if we could truly get this revelation, if I could truly get this revelation, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. This is one of the last things Jesus ever said. He said, all authority has been given to me. Go. Go. And do. What? Make disciples. Bring revelation of Jesus Christ to those around you. Disciple them. Teach them. You know, discipleship doesn't necessarily start with them getting saved. Discipleship starts when they begin to receive the word from you. When they will listen to your counsel and your advice, when you give advice based on the word of God, you've begun to disciple. And if they continue to walk down that path of being discipled, they will become saved. Because the truth of God is the light. That's the light. It's Jesus in us. It's the light of the world, the hope of glory. We go to make disciples, to tell the truth, to speak the truth. Oh, which verse did I pull that out of? In him was life, and life was the light of men. In him was life. That's out of the Gospel of John, first chapter. In him was life, and life was the light of men. The life that was in him is the light of men. That life is now in you. In you is the light of men now. Jesus died and he ascended into heaven and he poured out his spirit upon us. He made a revelation. He abides in our hearts. He can't abide in the world. He can't abide in somebody who lives in the world. He's not talking to people in the world. He's talking to you. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as you trust in him, he's speaking to you, giving you revelation and understanding so that you can speak to the world for him. When he was here, he was one man speaking to a group of people. Now he's many that encompass this world. There are believers in every part of this world, in every country, in every tribe, every nation, every tongue. There are believers who are hearing from the throne room of God and declaring what it is that God is saying. And in that way, he can touch way more than he could when he was here by himself. Because he can touch them through every single one of us. John 14:12, last verse. John 14:12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. I mean, I've heard this a lot. You know, we've all probably heard messages, probably a few of them, about how, you know what? As his believers, as those who believe in him, we'll do greater works than he does. But all of a sudden, well, yeah, but he was Jesus. I can guarantee you, we probably all have had that thought. Yeah, but he was Jesus. Who am I? You're the one that Jesus died for. You're the one, we are the ones that Jesus did everything that he did for. He did it for us, because of us. And he did it so that he could be an example to us. He wants us to do greater works than he did. Because he did it all for us to begin with. And he wants to add to the kingdom. He wants to add to the family of God. He wants to see more people come to the revelation knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he desires that none should perish, that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. So we have to speak. We have to share. We have to let the love of God show. We have to let the light shine out of our lives. What does that mean? We walk by the revelation. We walk by the truth. Sometimes when you're walking in a dark place and you've got a light, you kind of stand out. You know, if you're in a combat zone, the last thing you want to do is carry a light. Makes you an easy target. Being in the military, that's one thing that they teach you during night operations. You do not shine a light in any way, shape, manner, or form. Do you shine any light? Because it can be seen for miles. When we shine the light, you know, you can expect opposition. But greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. That He's given us power over serpents and scorpions. And all authority in heaven and earth has been given to you. Given to Him. Go. He has the authority. And we can walk in that authority. You are the light of this world. You are the light of this world. Shine. Don't worry about what the world says. The world's going to say what it's going to say. And a lot of times it's resisting because of the demonic forces working in the person's life. And they want to keep you from the light. They want to keep them from the light. But you shine the light and they'll see. They will see. So that we can get more into the kingdom. Because ultimately that's what it's about. Hey, we're all... Newsflash. You're going to heaven. You're going to heaven. Oh, you're getting out of this cesspool. And you get to go straight to heaven. Boom, you're there. To be absent from the body is to be present with God. Presence with the Lord. The minute our life ends, we are with Jesus. Hands down. You know what? It's time to share that with others. It's time to share that with those around us. Because, hey, we're good to go. But there are others who aren't. And we need to share the love of God with them. If you would like to have greater boldness to preach the truth and to be the light in the world, I would ask you to stand up. Lord, you see us standing. We're standing because we want you to use us as lights. We want you to use us to shine the light in this world, to be examples of the grace and the love of God, to be examples of your Son, Jesus Christ, in this world. Lord, we ask for all boldness to preach your word, to declare your truth, to speak into this world the truth of God, of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, and we ask that you would stretch forth your hand with signs and wonders, confirming the word that we speak in your name. Lord, let your boldness flow through us in this world in all confidence, knowing that you can perform that which you say. We give you glory and honor, Lord. We want to see additions to the kingdom. We want to see family members and friends come to know you. And we ask you for their souls, Lord. Give us their souls. Help us to save them, Lord. You know what to do. We don't. Lead us and guide us, that your name get glory and honor. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed in Jesus' name and have a wonderful week.